something strange in your neighborhood. Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters!
Hey guys, and welcome to the very first episode of Comics, Movies, and More. I'm your host, Brent. Welcome to everybody who's listening, and check me out on iTunes, on the webpage, who's downloaded it. Thank you all very much. I'm glad you want to hear me. I'm glad you want to hear what I have to say. And I know we're going to have a lot of fun because, first of all, today, as I mentioned before, we're going to have contests and trivia and games and everything else. Today is actually the first game that's going to be on this podcast. And it's going to have a direct tie-in to the Watchmen Absolute Edition that I was talking about last week. First, let me tell you about just a couple updates for the podcast. I have actually been working more on the webpage. I've gotten a couple things up. I've got a picture up. I've got my profile updated. I actually went ahead and I'm on iTunes. You can search me, Comics, Movies, and More. Also, I'm on Podcast Alley as well. Same thing. Check me out there. You know, if you got friends who like anything like comics or anything of the such from the movies and the video games, whatever, if you think they might want to listen to me, hey, let them know. If they can listen to me, if they're going to school, work, whatever, if they want to download it, check me out. Hey, that's fine. I also went ahead, I put my gamer tag up from Xbox Live on the webpage as well. You can send me a message. Hey, if you want to also challenge me to play some Halo, maybe some Soul Calibur, whatever, let me know. Send me a message. Also, Rainbow Six Vegas 2, I just got it. I've been playing it a lot too. Whatever, if you want to play, just let me know. All right, let's get right into it. The Watchmen Absolute Edition. I'm looking on eBay right now. I can see umpteen people are selling the Absolute Edition. Here's one for a buy it now, $229. Here's one for 8 bids, $158.19. Here's one for 20 bids, it ends in 1 minute, for $192.50. Folks, this is the same exact book that I have been telling you about, and it is the same exact thing that you can pay for only $42.50. But if you have a membership card, you get even more of a discount. In fact, let me tell you where to go. If you're on your computer right now, or if you have a pen and paper, write this down. You're going to want to know this. It's www.booksamillion.com. Maybe you have one of the stores around you. It's pretty much like a Barnes & Noble, pretty much just like a B. Dalton, just a bookstore like everything else. But they've got the lowest price. So go there, type that in, type in Watchmen in the search field. You're going to get a list of books. This is number 2. It says Watchmen, Absolute Edition. You'll see the price, $42.50. Or online, the club price, which is what I paid for it, is $38.25. Now, also, I did get free shipping as well. They are having a special right now. I don't know how long it lasts, so I don't know even if it's going to be there tomorrow, but check it out. One thing I did, I called because I did see how it says it's special order. I called to see if they had it. They said that they've been getting people calling in like crazy, probably because there people are seeing on eBay for $200 and said, no way, I'm not paying that much. I want to get it for something less. They happen to find it on here. They said people have been calling like crazy ordering it. In fact, right now, she told me that they can't even guarantee me that they're going to actually order me the book, but they did say that they were going to put my order in. I'd get an email if something didn't go through. So right now, I'm still waiting on that. I have not received anything saying that they have not sent my book. I haven't received anything saying they canceled my order. But let me tell you, if they cancel my order, I'm going to let you know right exact day that they cancel my order, because I'm going to find it somewhere else, and I'm going to let you know exactly where you can get it somewhere else as well. So again, go to www.booksamillion.com, type in Watchmen, find it, Watchmen Absolute Edition, order it. You can call them, you can do it through the internet. I would definitely, you can pay if you want to, the $15 to get the membership, to get the club price, but this is the lowest price that I've found it at so far. It's new, and like I said, you're going to see the same thing on eBay. So let these people buy it on eBay if that's what they wanted to do. Let them go ahead and spend the money. If you got it, that's fine. But you know what? Me, I'm going to look for something else. One thing I can mention right now, This was released actually in 2005. There's also a paperback version that was released as well. That's pretty much what you're seeing circulating all over the place right now. That's what you're going to find in bookstores. You're not going to find this hardcover in bookstores, or either in your Borders, your Amazon.com, or your Barnes & Noble. You're not going to find it in there. You're going to find the paperback version. There's a couple of things I could say. The paperback version, if you want to buy it, that's fine. You're going to get the same story that everybody else is getting, and you're going to enjoy it just as much as everybody else is getting. It does not mean that you cannot enjoy it. I bought that one first, and then I decided, hey, I really loved it. I'm going to go with the Absolute Edition. So if you want to, definitely go ahead and get it. But I'd recommend right now, because it costs $19.95, if you're going to get an edition, buy the Absolute Edition. Here's why I say this. In October, to try to hype up everything, DC has decided to go ahead and release a Just Right edition of The Watchmen. It's going to be a little more expensive than the regular paperback, but it's going to be cheaper than the Absolute Edition. It's going to have a few extra bonus features, and that's it. They're just trying to build a pipe, and they're just trying to get more editions on the market to try to sell. Here's what I'm saying. Buy this edition, because if you get it and you love it, even better. If you get it, if you don't even really like the story too much, you say, hey, I don't even really like this, then since it's got a buyer's market, that's what people are paying for these things now, almost $200. Definitely, if you don't like it, if you don't want it, sell it. The reason I say sell it is because it's better for you to sell it if you don't like it. Get your money and get that into the hands of a fan who has never read it and who maybe really wants that Watchmen Absolute Edition and has never been able to afford it before or can ever find it. Now they have it. That's what I'm saying. Because it's going to make two people happy. It's going to make you happy because you got your money back. It's going to make them happy because they got it. So either way, it is a win-win situation. So if you want to, definitely go check it out. I highly recommend it. Next, let's talk about movies. First, let me talk about something that was just released. The Harry Potter and Half-Blood Prince movie trailer. The trailer looked awesome. For any of you who have read the books, read the series, you know what happens, you know what comes up, you know what this movie is about, and you especially know that there are a lot of key defining moments in this book, and it's going to be in this movie, that have direct impact on book 7 and also vice versa, movie 7 as well. In fact, one thing that we know, it's not spoiler field, but we do know we see young Tom Riddle, who ends up being Lord Voldemort. It's not a spoiler, we know this from, if you've seen the movies, if you've read the books, you know this. So, one thing I could say as well, if you watch this trailer, think about this. You know how many of us didn't really care too much for The Phantom Menace and the prequels, especially the first one? Because we expected, hey, Anakin Skywalker, okay, he becomes Darth Vader. You know what, he's probably demented and twisted and maybe has a dark story and has a dark childhood. But no, he's a little boy, you know, he has a mother, and then he has to leave his mother and he's very sad. Oh, he becomes Darth Vader. Okay, what about everything else that could happen before then? There's so much more to that story they could have thrown in there that George Lucas could have said, hey, we're going to have a cool idea, this is going to tie in together, it's all going to make sense. Not some sappy, drawn-out story that gets just pretty much just destroys itself and makes it to where by the end people are really like, eh, don't care for The Phantom Menace, eh, I don't really care too much for prequels, eh, kind of like Revenge of the Sith, that was good, but then, yeah, kind of forget the rest. This movie in the trailer, you see Tom Riddle, and you know what? This is what George Lucas could have made with Anakin Skywalker. You see this dark, twisted, demented child who is in this orphanage and who gets visited by Dumbledore, and you know what's going to happen, especially the part when he says, snakes talk to me. You know what's going to happen because you see the look in Dumbledore's eyes. He stops. And you know something's clicking in his head. So watch that. Check it out. It looks like it's going to be a great movie. I'm really looking forward to it. Also, the Wolverine Origins Comic-Con footage leaked to the internet. I can't say where, but I can say that it did. It was actually online for a couple hours. Then it got pulled. Then just today, they put it back up. I've seen a couple places where it is where you can download it. I can't say where, but like I said, it is out there. For right now, I don't know for how long. So, I'm going to talk real quick just about that. So you may want to skip over maybe the next 30 seconds if you don't know which characters were shown in the trailer, because I actually got to watch it. So from right now, go ahead, skip forward probably 30 seconds, and we'll pick up from there. All right, for the rest of you that are sticking around and want to hear this, it was awesome. It was, the quality wasn't so good, but what you got to see, Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth looked awesome. He's much better than Tyler Mane. Looks like he actually has a personality and can actually speak, and like the Sabretooth that we've seen in the comic books. Looks good. Plus, not only that, we got to see Gambit, Deadpool, The Blob, Stryker, and maybe also Emma Frost. I still don't know who the blonde woman is, but hey, looked cool. Can't wait to see that. Next, I want to talk about the Clone Wars. Yes, not the comic book series that's been around forever, or the cartoon series that was back on US on the Cartoon Network. No, I'm going to talk about the animated CGI Clone Wars movie that's coming out on August 14th. Now, is it just me, or does everybody else feel that George Lucas has concentrated so much on this one particular time in Star Wars history that it's just overkill now? Do we really need to see Anakin Skywalker and Obi-Wan Kenobi and all the Jedi fight the droids again for the umpteenth thousandth time? Don't we really want to see what happens after Return of the Jedi? Don't we want to know what happens between Episode 3 and 4? Do we really want to see this over and over again? Because we know what's going to happen. We know what happens. And especially this whole thing about this apprentice that's all of a sudden they decide to throw in there, Anakin. Yeah, that's just, I don't know. I think pretty much they're gearing their target audience toward younger generation. I think it's really going to hurt them in the end. You don't want to ever see Star Trek ever coming up and be like, hey, you know what? Let's concentrate a whole storyline and a whole show about a young group of young cadets. In fact, they get in a little trouble. You don't see that with Star Trek. They don't do that. Yeah, you hear stuff at the Academy, but they don't do that. It's more adults, more oriented that way. They're leaving a lot of people back whenever they're only talking about the Clone Wars. I think now it's time they let that one go, move forward. But oh no, we got a television series coming up you don't know about. George, what about the stuff people want to hear and they're talking about ever since Return of the Jedi came out? What about your huge fan base that without them, you would have no prequels? What about them, George? I don't know. I don't think he's listening to me. But you know what? If he is, stop making the Clone Wars. Stop it. When it first came out back in the books, we heard about, hey, it was cool, the Clone Wars, and Obi-Wan Kenobi was talking about it. It looked, sounded awesome. Now, it's just like, I'd rather really not know so much about the Clone Wars. You can stop it now. Okay. Next thing I want to talk about. Next month, be on the lookout in comic books for All-Star Superman number 12. It's the last in the series. This was a great, great series. It was done by Grant Morrison. He also did, he's doing the Batman Rest in Peace series right now. Definitely, if you like Superman, if you haven't really cared too much for the Superman storylines for the past couple years, like me, which I haven't even really bothered to read. I've checked some of them out. But honestly, I got sick of the whole electric Superman. I got sick of the whole Brainiac number 13 and 2000 Y2K and everything they kept throwing out there. All the storylines have just pretty much just been blah to me. So this one, I kind of got into it. It deals a lot with the Silver Age mythology that DC tried to write out with the whole Crisis on Infinite Earths. It deals a lot in that. Plus, the characters are very wholesome, and it's not so much that Superman's off doing this. You see more of a real personality to him. Plus, the issue that deals with where three Supermen come back to meet Clark and also his dad, that is a great, great issue. In fact, I'm not going to give you spoilers away, but I do believe the series has actually won an Eisner Award. You should check it out. They've actually released Volume 1 of it. They're going to release the second volume, I believe, next year. You should go read it. Give these back issues. It's going to be good because you really want to read this last issue. I'm sure it's really looking great. Also, Uncanny X-Men reached issue number 500. This is the flagship title for Marvel. In fact, it is the only title that has stayed consecutive ever since it was started. Everything else from Captain America, Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, all of them, their issues have been renumbered and reordered and changed throughout the entire history. Uncanny X-Men has stayed the same. It is the only, again, Marvel title that has done that. We've seen a lot of changes come up through X-Men throughout the years. In fact, I'm sure there's a lot more, but that's one thing I'm going to touch on a little bit later on here in this episode. Next, video games. Xbox Live. Here's what they've done. They came out with, or coming out with avatars. It's basically pretty much the same thing that the Nintendo company did with the Mii. It looks like this, almost the same exact thing. I don't know why they're doing it. I think they're just copying it, trying to be it like Nintendo. It worked for Nintendo, and it was great. But really, come on. Xbox Live people, do we really need a little Mii character who looks like us and who we can make look like us and do whatever and say whatever? Blah, who cares? Nobody cares about that. Everybody wants to get on Xbox Live, play video games, play against other, talk crap and badmouth and say everything they want to against everybody who they're playing with, because that's what Xbox Live is. All that and download some trailers and demos as well. Yeah, that's what it is. I don't see this being that popular. Maybe it will be. I think it's just trying to copy it. Now, also with that, ever since the HD hard drive that my Xbox came out with, ever since that, they decided to stop making the HD DVDs. They dropped the price down from $200 down to $50 to try to get rid of these things. Now, there's talk that Microsoft may introduce the Blu-ray technology into the 360. How that's going to work, I'm not sure. I know it's coming since Sony obviously has the rights to that. It's coming from them. They have the technology. I think it's great because I think that's going to be probably the only piece of technology into 360 that's going to work. My 360, it's great, but I got to tell you, I've had those red rings of death so many times, it looks like Simon sometimes trying to make me see if I can follow the colors back and forth. It does get very annoying, especially since it overheats a lot. It's been a constant pain with Microsoft, and they know it. But hopefully the Blu-ray technology will work. Hopefully they're getting in there, because I would love to see some Blu-ray movies on my TV, and I hope they drop the price in the movies as well. All right, so you've all heard me talk about some hot topics. Now we'll get right into it with The Dark Knight. Let me tell you what I thought. It was awesome. It was a great movie. In fact, to me, the whole movie played like a graphic novel. It was just awesome. With Joker, Two-Face, Rachel Dawes. Honestly, I could care less about her character. If she died off, she really did nothing to the story, I thought. Alfred was great. Detective Gordon. Batman was good. Pretty much, though, in my opinion, he took a backseat to this movie. And I'm going to get into that a little bit later. With this movie, there was a lot more action. There's a lot more energy. With Batman Begins, it was the origin story. I mean, obviously, we have to have the origin story, such as the motion picture or Star Trek. Wasn't so much an origin story, but continued on from the original series. But the pivotal movie from the Star Trek franchise is The Wrath of Khan. This is The Wrath of Khan for Batman. This is it. It's never going to be like this again. Because we know the character, we know who he came from, we know his origin. Now we're getting right into the heavy stuff. Batman Begins was a little drawn out. It was good, but they had to get to the whole story, and it was dark and emotional and deep and all that stuff and yada, yada, yada. This was not that way. This was just, bam, in your face. This is what's happening. From the minute it starts, throws you right into the action. I got to tell you, the Joker stole the show entirely. It was just, every time he was in the scenes, you wanted him to stay there. You wanted to know what he was going to do, because you never knew what he was going to do. You didn't know what he was going to say. And you definitely didn't know if he was going to kill someone or save somebody. Or not even bother killing them at all. Or you didn't know what he was going to do. You never knew, and that's what made him perfect, because you just never knew. Now, I don't know if a lot of you know this or not, but this movie was really based off pretty much three graphic novels. It was the storylines. The first one was The Killing Joke by Alan Moore. If you never read this, go pick this up. It's very good. In fact, I definitely aren't. They just DC released a hardcover edition due to The Dark Knight coming out. It details a lot of the duality of the Batman and Joker relationship, how one really can't exist without the other, and how they really need each other, and how, in fact, I really gotta say, you know, in the end of The Killing Joke, you really understand more along the relationships of Batman and the Joker, and you see and understand how, yes, they may fight back and forth, and yes, they may try to kill each other, or even, well, Batman won't kill Joker, but yes, Joker may try to kill Batman all the time, but you see that he never succeeds, and you get a more understanding of why they do need each other in this book. Also, they wanted to take more of a darker approach to the Joker. He's been portrayed in various incarnations throughout the years. The first was you know, was first introduced was a more darker tone than what later came out in the 80s and early and late 70s. It was more serious, more murderous, I should say, not so much more the campy stuff that came later on. So they wanted to go back and kind of do that again, and that one was called A Man Who Laughs, and it talks more about how the Joker was introduced and how it kind of picks up from Batman Year One by Frank Miller, kind of picks up a little bit from that, which was what originally Batman Begins was based off of, and really is very close to that storyline for how Batman first starts out, and how Bruce Wayne's developing the weapons and getting his equipment and starting out with the police and meeting them. It really deals a lot with that. Now, also, lastly, the main storyline involving Two-Face and Joker and having a love interest, it basically based off of The Long Halloween, which was a great series. In my opinion, I didn't really care too much for the whole storyline of itself. I liked little pieces here and there, especially certain things with Two-Face and Harvey Dent and the Joker as well. Plus, you did see all of Batman's rogue gallery and how they were involved with it. But I really didn't care too much for the whole story. I just liked little pieces here and there of it. But it was a good storyline. Like I said, it was based off of it. In fact, if you haven't read the series, you'll know that The Dark Knight was completely different as far as storyline from The Long Halloween, but there were certain parts of it, character-wise, that they took away from it. Now, also, with Two-Face, I thought they did a great job. Aaron Eckhart was actually really good as Two-Face. One thing I gotta say is, again, you know, going back to the Joker, when Harvey Dent becomes Two-Face, the whole flipping the core thing, I know he has to do it. I know that's part of his personality. I know that's part of what he always does. But coming from the Joker with his scenes that are more action-oriented, you don't know what he's going to do. He's more wild and crazy. To Two-Face, who has to flip a coin to decide something, to me, it kind of slowed the pace down a little bit. And not that I don't like the character, but I just felt, to me, that it slowed the pace of the storyline down. Now, also, with Batman, I mean, really, this was a villain's film. Batman took the back seat to this entire movie. I felt that the whole time Batman was on, I couldn't wait to see the Joker or to see some action. Because with the Dark Knight, actually, Christopher Nolan mentioned in the special features edition of the Batman Begins disc that he wanted to have the audience enjoy having Bruce Wayne on camera and not just waiting for Batman to appear, such as what pretty much happened back whenever Spider-Man was released back in theaters, how we waited a long, long time to even see Spider-Man. So by the time they did come on, everyone felt like they had to wait almost an entire movie to see him. In this case, I felt that, yeah, it was great, all the scenes were great, but when Batman came on and Bruce Wayne came on, it was very slow, and it tended to kind of draw out itself. I thought Alfred did great. I thought Alfred really kind of picked up on a lot of the storylines, and also so did Lucius Fox, to kind of give a more upbeat perspective and kind of bring out the scene a little bit more than Christian Bale did. I didn't really feel that. I know the whole Batman character is very dark, brooding. I understand that. But it really kind of brought the movie really down during those scenes when he was in that, but the Joker scenes were more excitement, just in your face, right there, and I really felt like you wanted to see more of him. You know, Rachel Dawes' character, in the first movie, I understand why she had to be there, I understand in this one why she had to die, but I think she was kind of overused. In each Batman movie, you know, even going back as far as when Tim Burton was there, yes, we have seen the love interest for Bruce Wayne, always there, and each time it's been someone different, but this one just kind of felt a little forced, because we pretty much knew by the end of Batman Begins that she had said, hey, this is your, when she told Bruce, hey, this is your mask, you're really Batman. We pretty much knew that relationship was over. There's nothing really going on with there. So when she's meeting Harvey and, hey, they're together, it worked good more toward her for her to be with Harvey. But for her to still kind of have feelings for Bruce, and for Bruce to still want to go after her, and for Harvey just kind of want to step in and be Gotham's White Knight, the whole Bruce and Rachel thing just didn't really work too good for me. And yet again, I felt it was just kind of forced. It was put out there. And it worked for her death, it worked for Harvey, because it allowed him to kind of split that personality and become who he was before, just without the disfigurations. But, yeah, I personally didn't really care too much for it. I don't know how they're going to try to bring another love interest into the third movie. I really can hope they leave that one alone, because consistently throughout the whole Batman franchise, love interests haven't really gone somewhere. In fact, you know, the only one that's really kind of stayed around in one form or another has been Catwoman. You know, and you can argue it up and down all you want to, but Catwoman's been pretty much the only one who's been there and who's ever, you know, been an interest in his life. Everybody else gets boring. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody could care who he is. They don't know what's going on. But one form or another, she's always been there back and forth. So I think that would be something to be touched on. I don't think we'll ever see her in the Christopher Nolan universe for Batman. I think that's something that won't be touched on or brought up. Now also, just a couple quick things here. Originally, Bat Damon was the first choice for Two-Face. And also, the redhead girl that is in the kitchen scene with Barbara and also Detective Gordon's son, that is actually Barbara Gordon, who we later know does become Batgirl. It has not been credited, however, she is the only little girl there with red head, so one can obviously assume that she's Barbara Gordon, plus the mother's name is Barbara Gordon. The same thing happened when X-Men first came out, when we saw what later turned out to be Colossus and Quicksilver, and there's a couple other mutants that weren't named, and Bryan Singer actually didn't name them until later on, saying, oh no, these were actually these people. So they were there. Robin Williams also, he actually wanted the role of the Joker. In fact, he was originally considered to be the Riddler in Batman Forever. And also, Aaron Eckhart was considered for the role of Wolverine in X-Men. And just as a couple quick little notes here, the name badge on the Joker's outfit when he wore it was Matilda, which is also the name for Heath Ledger's daughter. And then also Nestor Campbell, who played the mayor and who is also Richard on Lost, played Batmanuel as a parody of Batman on The Tick. I remember Spoon. If you know what I'm, if you've seen the show or read the comic books, you know what I'm talking about. So my final thoughts for the movie, it was a great movie. It was one of my favorites. But really, the only stuff I really wanted to see, and when I thought about maybe watching it again, I really wanted to see the action scenes with the Joker, and I wanted to be able to see that duality played out all over again, because I thought it was done very well. So, now that you've listened to my review of it, now comes to the game section. Now, whoever actually wins this, they get a nice little prize. Let me tell you what the game is. Whomever can tell me which villain they would choose from Batman's Rogue Gallery to be in the third Batman movie. And if we don't know if they're going to have a villain or not, it's assuming that right now Batman's going to be the villain because he's in front of the police. And hopefully it's not the case, because I really don't want to see that. I want to see a villain. So, your mission is to choose a Batman villain from the Rogue's Gallery. Which one would you choose? And then I want you to tell me how you would fit that into Christopher Nolan's Batman real-world universe. And the entries are actually open right now. You can email me or post a comment on the webpage. You can email me at supermana2@podomatic.com. It's right there on the webpage. Email me or post a comment. And whoever is the winner, which I will actually let you know by Sunday night, I will send you an email. Whoever is the winner, you'll get a coupon for Books of Man, which will give you $10 off an order of $50 or more. So now I know you're probably saying, why do I want this if I can get the Watchmen book for $38.25 with the membership discount? Hey, if you want to go with that, that's cool. If you just want to go, and if you don't have the money to get it, hey, that's fine, because you can still check this out, see that it's going to be much cheaper than if you go and just purchase it for regular. So I highly recommend it. All right, so stay tuned next week, or next Friday, we're going to have another great episode. In fact, we're going to be watching, talking about the Watchmen trailer at Comic-Con that was leaked, or the footage, I should say. It was leaked. It's actually still out there right now. You can check it out online. I don't know how long it's going to be out there, but we're going to talk about that next week. So kind of just give you a heads up on what's going on. As far as how long it is, you're probably looking at, I think the footage is about, okay, I should say as well, there was also the footage that was leaked. It is, I'm not sure how long, I have to check on that real quick for you, but I'm not sure if it was the complete footage that was shown, but they do show, I believe, a lot of what it was, and from what I've read so far, and what people who did go to see it, they actually say that, yes, it is all the footage, but yet some people are still saying that maybe it's not. But as far as how long it is, actually, sorry about that, had a little technical problem. I think so far, the clip is only 55 seconds. So check it out. It looks very cool from what little bit that I have seen. So we'll talk about that actually next week. Also, looks like our comic book movies are pretty much done for the summer. With The Dark Knight actually rising on its way to number one, we're kind of left with nothing else coming up in the theaters. So that's why next week I'm going to talk to you about some DVDs coming out. Also, I'm going to give you a couple opinions of some movies that I just watched. I'm going to let you know if I think they're good, if you should watch them, check it out. Also, something else. We're going to talk to you in about the X-Men. And speaking in regards to the Uncanny X-Men number 500, think about it. In 1963, we got a comic book that deals with gifted youngsters taught by Professor X. Now, fast forward to 2008, we got Professor X lying. We know there's a third Summers brother. We got Wolverine's origins revealed to us. And Cyclops has his own personal assassin squad. So you might be asking yourself, right, what just happened between this period of time from 1963 to now? Well, I'm going to talk to you all about that. I'm going to talk to you about the X-Men movies, the cartoons. In fact, there's coming out with another cartoon of Wolverine and the X-Men. We're going to talk all about that. And see how things change, because back when I was actually a teenager, the X-Men were the thing. I think they actually dealt a lot with everything from social issues, political issues. Plus, we had great artwork from Jim Lee, who was back and kind of reintroduced a lot of characters to us in a fresh, new way. So we're going to talk all about it. So stay tuned next week. And remember, I want you all to know what's going on, because knowing is half the battle.